Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 302 on November 11th. And it's Veterans Day, but we want to talk a little bit about Veterans Day before it became Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was originally named Armistice Day.
I think Armistice is a much nicer way to portray it, because Armistice means that you're setting your arms down. You're agreeing not to fight.
Well, and yes, and taking a break from the fighting to sit back and rethink. And the goal was, of course, we had just come out of World War I, and people were war weary, and
sure,
and saw the destruction and knew that there had to be a better way, and so came to an agreement that they wanted to celebrate the idea and the practice of peace.
Yeah, I can see that, and I can see how marvelous that would be if they truly supported it.
Well, and I think a lot of people did at the time. So that was something that people rose to the occasion, recognized, and then over time, lots of things lose traction or move away from their roots.
The luster of peace.
Yes, but they move away from their origins, their roots. And I think many organizations and many holidays do lose their meaning if we're not careful. So that's why we just wanted to call that out and say, wait a minute, there was something more behind this than the recognition of the military.
Yeah, and there's also an organization out there called Veterans for Peace.
Right.
That we need to pay attention to. I mean, they're veterans. Honest to God, you know, I've been out there shooting them up veterans.
Been there, done that, and know there's a better way.
Got the T-shirt and got the wounds, got the amputations to boot. Mm-hmm. So, but Veterans for Peace has been celebrating Armistice Day for almost since the organization's inception, with few chapters doing some yearly events. However, in 2008, the effort became a national effort with the passage of Official Veterans for Peace Resolution. Since then, chapters across the country have been reclaiming Armistice Day, pushing the Declaration of Peace into the national conversation on Veterans Day. 100 years ago, the world celebrated peace as a universal principle. The First World War had just ended, and nations mourning their dead collectively called for an end to all wars. Armistice Day was born and was designated as a day to be dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be thereafter celebrated. After World War II, the United States Congress decided to rebrand November 11th as Veterans Day, honoring the warrior, quickly morphed into honoring the military and glorifying war. Armistice Day was flipped from a day for peace into a day for displays of militarism. Veterans for Peace has taken the lead in lifting up the national intention of November 11th as a day for peace. As veterans, they know that the day celebrates peace, not war. It's the best way to honor the sacrifices of veterans. They want generations after us to never know the destruction of war that war has wrought on people and the earth. Veterans for Peace is calling on everyone to stand up for peace this Armistice Day. More than ever, the world faces a critical moment. Tensions are heightened around the world, and the United States is engaged militarily in multiple countries without an end in sight. Here at home, we have seen the increasing militarization of police forces and brutal crackdowns on dissent and people's uprisings against state power. We must press our government to end reckless military interventions that endanger the entire world. We must build a culture of peace. That's their mission. This Armistice Day, Veterans for Peace calls on the United States public to say no to more war and to demand justice and peace at home and abroad. They know that peace is possible and call for an end to all oppressive and violent policies and equality for all people. That's a pretty good line. And it's not a line, it's a pretty good way to be. You know, if you're a veteran, you've been there, you've done that. You, just like you said, you know, you got the T-shirts, you got the cred.
Exactly. They've experienced it firsthand and know the horrors and know that they don't want that to continue. So to call attention to this, they actually, I don't know how many Veterans for Peace went to Washington, D.C. this weekend, and they were going to march in a silent, solemn parade and just say, you know, there's more to life than this, looking at it through the lens of the military, but look at it through the lens of peace. And I loved the fact that they were going to join forces and do this. And I, you know, I kept checking the news to see if anyone was covering it. I saw nothing. And so I think how sad if we really honor these men and women who have fought in wars and they have something to say, the most honorable thing we can do and the way we can treat them is listen to them. If they're coming forward and saying, you know, it's high time we step back and rethink this, folks, isn't it our duty then not to just to wave the flag and say we love our veterans? How about let's listen to them, their needs, their experiences, their preferences, their desires, their wishes, their understandings, their revelations that we have not personally had ourselves, perhaps.
Well, you know, I know there's all kinds of memes going around today. There's all sorts of celebrations from people who've lost loved ones in mm-hmm. war. They're, you know, honoring your own people on Veterans Day and celebrating them and their contribution to, you know, ours and world pieces, that's great. You know, if you're a Gold Star family, for example, you know, my God, I can't imagine what it would be like to be in your shoes mm-hmm. having lost a loved one to war. But I can't imagine a world where war is celebrated.
Right. And we have to be careful. We walk that line.
We've got to be really careful mm-hmm. at walking that line. It's mm-hmm. it's tough. There's two sides to this coin. You know, it's like Republicans and Democrats. There's R's on the back and D's on the front. So we got to flip the coin to see what we're going to get whenever we had, and we're not attacking. We're just bringing this to you. This is the way it is.
Well, it's to your description when you say it's like Republicans and Democrats and two sides of things. We always throw the libertarian thought in the mix of that. So here we go. We're throwing them into the mix of, you know, honoring veterans and at the same time not wanting war. Let's listen to the veterans who are also not wanting war.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good way to look at it.
Make no mistake, I am not dissing any veteran who's served in any war. That's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is saying, why aren't we celebrating peace?
Mm-hmm. And not just celebrating, but taking action to make our voices heard. I've often said that if there was a draft today, that there would be more people actively campaigning against war because they would know that it would mean that they themselves might have to be called up or some of their children or their loved ones. And so, you know, when you can kind of turn and not be personally affected, sometimes it's easier to let things happen and that you might not if you were more, if it was more in your face. Well, the fighting that's going on now should be in our faces all the time with the recognition that people are still suffering and still dying and still struggling. And so I'm just saying, you know, if we go ahead and say no to this, before we have to have something as horrible as the draft, but the draft would also be something that people, I think, would take notice in a different way.
You bet.
War would resonate with you differently if you knew you were being called up in a couple months.
Yeah. You know, Beyond World War is another note that you made here.
They're
another organization that's out there that's also in support of Armistice,
mm-hmm.
rather than calling it Veterans Day, but let's recall it Armistice Day. The November 11, 2018 is Armistice Day, 100 years since World War I ended. At the scheduled moment, you know, it's the war of the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. For decades in the United States as elsewhere, Armistice Day was a holiday of peace, of sad remembrance, and of joyful ending of war, of a commitment to preventing war in the future. The holiday's name changed in the United States after the U.S. war on Korea to Veterans Day. So that was largely a pro-war holiday on some U.S. cities. Some U.S. cities forbid veterans for peace groups from marching in their parades.
I can't even fathom that. And that speaks volumes about how the meaning of the day has changed.
Yeah.
Because Veterans for Peace, if the parades and celebrations were honoring the roots of the Armistice Day, they would have wanted Veterans for Peace to lead the way in their parade, not to exclude them. So it's just one of those things that, you know, you always need to step back, whatever thing, whatever organization, holiday, take a look at its origins, its roots, and see if it's still holding true to that. In this case, I don't feel we are. And so that's why there is a movement to reclaim Armistice Day, because I think really down deep, individuals want peace, and they may not know how to go about it.
And how do you go about, you know, acknowledging the fact that, thank God, whenever they had to stand up and do their thing for peace and prosperity, for World War I, for World War II, for the call to police action in Korea, you name it, our guys stood up and stood tall.
Well, and we've talked about this before. When 9/11 happened, immediately we had, and our oldest son was in college, all his friends had never, ever thought about entering in any kind of military service at all.
And many of them took off and joined.
Well, but what I started to say was, without even a draft being necessary, when individuals thought that our nation was truly being attacked, they were ready to serve. They were ready to fight. They were ready to defend. And that's a natural instinct. So in that sense, if a war is threatening your home turf, people stand up automatically.
You betcha.
And then they began to question, and a lot of them were glad they didn't go ahead and enlist. As they learned more and more about 9/11, it didn't ring true to them as much as it did on that day, because they thought there were other issues behind it. But just thinking we were attacked, they were ready to stand up and serve and defend and protect.
And, you know, with the advent of instant communication the way we have it now, you know, just the fact that people had a question in mind, people knew that there was something fishy about 9/11, about anything that goes on. That, you know, the call to arms is not quenched by knowledge. You know, back in 1942, back in 1917, knowledge didn't travel the way it does today, and therefore, you know, there's always room to ask the question, Wait a minute. Ein kleiner Moment, bitte.
Right. You know? Right.
It's a different world we live in, and it's much harder to pull the wool over the eyes of the American people. And I believe there are still people out there that believe that, you know, you say 9/11 was an inside job.
Right, and that's probably another conversation for another day. The point of that was basically to say that when we felt threatened,
we were there ready to respond.
Right, and it wouldn't take any government to convince us, but on the flip side of that, we have to question, when the government wants to take us to war, is it necessary? Are we truly being threatened? And is that action the first action we should take, or is there diplomacy? I mean, the greatest, we try to teach our children to be diplomatic and to hold off on things.
Well,
so let's always go towards that, and we would like more diplomacy possible.
I think what we have lost is the capacity of blind faith when it comes to our government.
Well, and that would be the government's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that we all, you and I, grew up that way, too, believing in everything the government said, and we don't anymore. And, you know, you can pick a YouTube channel and, you know, Google something, and pretty soon you found two or three different things that the same representative has said differently from moment to moment. So
you and I were talking just the other night about Walter Cronkite. You know, if Walter Cronkite were to sit at the television on CBS News and say, people, we've got a problem and we need your help, we'd bust down the TV trying to get in there to help him, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen ever again. That's gone.
Those days of that kind of what appeared to be honorable news reporting, when there were men and women, mostly men, just because that's the way it was, behind that camera telling us, reading us the news, not interpreting it for us. I think that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. When we got to hear what was out there and then assess it and reassess it ourselves without all the talking heads giving us their opinions.
Well, what's missing, of course, is simple trust. We don't trust what we see anymore.
Well, and I think that that's not a bad thing.
Right, right.
That's what you're saying,
that's
is it?
What I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, because the government has proven themselves less trustworthy than we would like them to be.
You betcha.
Speaking of, you mentioned the Korean War, and what I'm getting at is there was a legendary TV show, MASH, that, you know, people our age, if you just say MASH, you don't even have to describe what it is.
Right.
But anyway, this depicts what, how we feel, and a sentiment that should be expressed, and we think it's appropriate for today. But anyway, in this scene, Hawkeye is talking to Father Mulcahy, the priest that is of service.
Yeah, the company chaplain.
And Hawkeye says, war isn't hell. War is war, and hell is hell. And of the two, war is a lot worse. And Father Mulcahy says, how do you figure that, Hawkeye? And Hawkeye answers, easy, Father. Tell me, who goes to hell? And Father Mulcahy says, sinners, I believe. And Hawkeye answers, exactly. There are no innocent bystanders in hell, and war is chock full of them. Little kids, cripples, old ladies. In fact, except for some of the brass, almost everybody involved is an innocent bystander.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a poignant show, and that's truth right there. Mm-hmm. That's just truth.
Mm-hmm. So that's, we just want to have people take a look at Google Armistice Day. Learn for yourself. And of course, you know, there's a lot of people that already know that. And so when I say learn, you know, I'm not assuming that you all don't know it. But just, you know, next November 11th, go ahead and help us all reclaim Armistice Day.
How do you spell armistice?
Go ahead, Don.
A-R-M-I-S-T-I-C-E. Armistice Day. Now, we've got some pretty cool stuff that's coming up on our plate.
On a lighter note.
Much lighter note.
Yes.
But it's a little heavier work for us to be doing.
Well, we are producing an anthology, actually a series, an anthology series.
Well, and it's an anthology in a series.
There you go. That's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
And it is titled An Owl Creek Anthology, and we're working on the first book. So it is the first year in four parts, and we're working on part one.
Yeah, because we're just babies. We can't get them all out together at one time.
I loved the way you decided that we should do this, and it made sense to me. We were trying to put like 5 years of Owl Creek Gazettes together in one book. And that's a huge undertaking because
it's monumental.
Well, and it requires us to, of course, reread the 5 years. And we wanted to remove the advertisement. That's not what this kind of book is. This is going to be a book that is more hands-on, how to pick up this, you know, and be incited by, inspired by, encouraged by, enthused by, educated by,
PO'd by
the materials in the content of the magazine over these years. And we're going to do 5 years. And we just said, I don't think we'll ever get that done. And you came up with the idea of doing it in what you called bite-sized pieces. And I love that because people are so busy anyway. They can look at that bite size of information, enjoy it, and get ready for the next time. So we're constantly going to be working on all these anthologies.
There will be an end. We'll hopefully find an end in sight someplace.
When we retire, Don.
But yeah, the first quarter is coming out here, you know, next week sometime. Mm-hmm. We're going to try. You know, we'll let you know when it's going to happen. But we've got the first three issues, a quarter, condensed, not condensed, but actual, you know, the actual articles. Got them stripped of all the ads and things so that it flows better and mm-hmm. it works better on Kindle. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to try
right,
to put it
because,
first.
And I don't think we said this yet. And in this episode, it's an ebook, so people will be able to buy it on Kindle, read it on their Kindle, and that way, eventually down the road, we'll put quarters together.
Yeah, we'll put the quarters together as an anthology, as a print book.
As a print book, yeah. Print on demand. And so that will be something that you can, you know, keep, give, whatever works for you. And if you just want to read it online, there you go. You'll have your part one and part two and part three and part four yeah. of each year.
Right. And, you know, we may, and I say may with a big M. We may find some small USB drives and just go ahead and offer them up, you know, as our own ebook. Here it is on USB, and you can put it on anything you want to look at it on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think that's a real idea. Yeah. It just hit me. Why not?
Yeah, that's good, Don.
You know, those things are cheap, mm-hmm. and they're deliverable, and you could come in the mail, and away you go.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Okay, good thing we had this podcast. See, we learn things here ourselves all the time, too. Well, and when you mentioned bite-sized pieces, then I was mulling that around in my head, and I came up with kind of a tagline or a description. Bite-sized pieces of self-reliance and common sense from people, places, and projects originally featured in the Owl Creek Gazette.
Yeah.
So that's how we are working on this as a team, Don, coming up with...
And some of it's by the seat of our pants as we go here,
that's right?
That's right. Well, that's how serendipity works, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take it.
And then I did want to mention if you, you know... If you haven't saved, if our listeners haven't saved all of the back issues of the Owl Creek Gazette, and believe it or not, some people have. But, you know, we people find out about our publication all the time. We had two new subscribers the other day that had just stumbled onto the magazine. So it was really neat.
We'll take it.
To know. Absolutely. So just to kind of refresh people's memory or to let them know what the book is going to kind of include, this is a quick, you know, there's much more in it than this, but there's a three-part series by Jeff Jones from the Sunshine House Health Food Store. And so he's talking about health and nutrition and supplements and how do you know what's right for you and what isn't. There's articles by Lori Loringer and Crystal Jerzinski. Lori has been with us off and on writing series for a year and then taking a break and then writing another series. And she has Skamaniac's Ravings right now in the current issue of the Owl Creek Gazette.
And we just love her and have never met her.
No, not in person, but one of these days.
Soon enough.
On the bucket list, Lori. So there are also recipes with memories by Kathy Stark. We like the fact that there'll be recipes, another hands-on thing you can take with you. You know, this is something I can do from the magazine.
Sure.
We've got your trash can turkey, Don, speaking of that.
Oh, my.
And some crafts by me making something out of nothing. We've got feature stories on the Clark Farm and wildflower conspiracies on shelf reliance, the Thomas House, peacemakers, and building a composter. So that's just kind of a tweak your interest there. Tweak and peek, I guess. And we also will have early interviews from those first three issues back in 2011 when the magazine began. Early interviews with Shivani of My Owl Barn, Jess Adam of Adam Brothers, and of course Jess has a current series in our Owl Creek Gazette publication right now. We're rerunning his Living Small series.
Yeah.
So if you like what you've read by Jess, you'll get a chance to, quote, meet him in this interview we did back in the day.
And unless I miss it and don't take it out, we won't repeat it again. We'll put it in there once, and then that'll
that's
be
right.
the end of it.
That's right. And we also have an interview with Ron Clark, our friend who has started his own business. And that's another thing we like to feature in the magazine, people that were entrepreneurs. People looked around their situation and said, my life isn't working for me, and I want to make sure there's a change. And they step on up and step on out and make those changes.
You got to do something different sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of like what we're doing here. We are not reinventing ourselves. We're going back and revisiting and letting you find the magazine, you know,
In new venues.
In a new venue. Mm-hmm. All it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And then, of course, I wanted to tell people, too, that in our e-books and then the hard copy of book that we'll eventually be producing, it's not just going to be former content. It will be former content. And then we'll be adding updates to it and our own thoughts and how the magazine has changed and shifted and grown. So there'll be current content as well. So I'm kind of excited to see that blend.
Well, there's color, I guess, is the way to describe it, is colorful. If something fun has happened that needs to be shared, we'll go ahead and share it, you know, because that's the way we roll.
It is the way we roll. So anyway, I think it's about time to head on home, and I just want to invite people to check out our website always, owlcreekgazette.com, and you can...
Water's getting chilly, by the way.
This water at our creek?
Yeah.
As the temperatures drop?
Yeah, we got snow forecasts. We could get up to 2 inches, and that's not fun. I haven't got gutters clean.
Oh, gosh, I don't know what we're doing sitting here.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to go home clean.
I got to go home clean gutters.
Anyway, so, and if you've enjoyed the podcast, you can find more, of course, at owlcreekradio.podomatic.com. So happy Armistice Day, and let's all continue to work together for peace and prosperity for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you are a veteran, thank you. And if you're going to be a veteran, thank you, too. Y'all take care now.
Good night, folks.
Bye-bye.